you go.
Hey!
Look at this.
There you are.
And we're back.
Summer jam. Summer jam.
How are you?
Cool. Look. Look at those cool shades.
I am just channeling.
Don't worry.
I'm channeling my inner birthday. So I just had a birthday this last Thursday.
Dude, you were at Vegas. You went to Vegas.
Yes, I went to Vegas.
Did you get those shades? Did you get the shades?
Yes, on top of losing an inordinate amount of money, I also decided to buy some expensive shades. And that's how this goes.
There you go.
But I am in the UK. I've got the Burberry on.
Love the haircut too.
Thank you.
Styling, man.
You hit 30 with a bang, man.
Wow. Boom.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm 31 now, but
was this 30? This was not 30.
This was 30, JD. Don't think about it.
How could you be 30 when I'm just 39? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. I'm catching up. It's
I don't know.
30s, your 30, I don't know about you, but my 30s were like the best years.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
If this trip was anything, they're going to be.
Yeah.
So
when people ask me, I say like 36 was my best year.
Wow.
Like everything just falls into place, you know, like you're making a little money, you've got every freedom imaginable.
Yes.
You know,
kind of figured out who you are by then. Yeah.
You're making your own decisions and like really feeling like you make them. Like, trying things out anymore. It's like, no, this is what I do. I wake up in the morning and I go here.
I'm
not worried about it anymore.
You got your routine down. You've got enough space set aside for fun and entertainment and a healthy like work balance, you know. I'm telling you, man, I love my 30s.
Good.
You're really adulting by then.
Yeah.
Figuring and you don't hate it yet. You don't hate it yet.
You're not tired of it.
Right.
48, 52, you're like, man, this adulting thing.
Oh, it's the same thing still.
Yeah.
It's
new and exciting in your 30s. And then like by 50, you're like, all right, really, seriously.
Yeah. Something else.
You start looking at your childhood pictures. But speaking of adulting, I was gifted this week, a bottle of Maker's Mark.
Ooh,
candle wax.
Yeah.
Nice.
Isn't this a beautiful bottle? This is like the smoothest bourbon. I'm sure Tyler,
Andy Cohen,
probably give you more
in the clubhouse.
You know, insight as to why, but it says it's barrel finished with 10 French oak staves. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means, but it sounds very exotic.
Yeah, so there is a difference between American oak and French oak. And that's based on terroir. So basically terroir gets into this really highfalutin crazy concept that people like to go. Basically, if I grow peppers in my yard and you grow peppers in your yard, they're probably going to taste different.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little different sun. My soil was a little different. You watered yours twice as often as I did, whatever. That's terroir. That's it. So now you change that to all the way across the globe. And American oak is going to have a certain soil and certain sun and all of this stuff. And it's going to grow with a different atmosphere and all of this. And then French oak is going to grow in another place with different soil.
That makes sense.
6 billion years ago was made differently and all of this. And they're just going to kind of feel and taste different.
That's cool.
So there's a big debate about what's better and all of that. But
I've got Peaky Blinders, Irish whiskey.
Ah.
Love Peaky Blinders.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah,
you're making an Irish whiskey.
Yep.
Wow.
Look at the Peaky Blinder guy.
Yes. Little bowler hat. Oh, yep. That is amazing.
And Tyler, I just want, and I'm mixing it with 7-Up because I'm a wuss.
Perfect.
And something refreshing.
Nothing wrong with that.
Because it's brutal. But I started making my own ice balls.
Yes.
I got the spears.
Awesome.
Oh yes. My God.
That's very high end of you.
Ooh,
high end.
They're not easy to make. That little thing you have to fill up leaks
yep.
all over the place.
Yes.
And you have to set it in a certain way in the freezer and then to get them out.
And then every third one cracks in half. So you're like a half sphere.
Mine
which
end
can
up
look cool, but
sticking, and I have to kind of like bang them on the counter to get them apart. Yeah. But so I have like a big freezer bag full of just the bottle.
I don't know the name of the brand, but there is a refrigerator now that makes those ice round ice balls.
Oh, that would be.
It's LG or Samsung or one of, yeah. Imagine.
Yeah. That's in my actual, like, you know, because I watch these stupid home reno shows. So I have all these ideas of what I want my last home to have all the things, you know, that I see on these shows. And, you know, whether it's the beams or the shiplap or the, you know, whatever, but that's, now that refrigerator is going to go on my list.
The round. Yeah.
Yeah.
The round ice maker.
Yeah. I need ones that last because it's so, I was just telling JD, Tyler, it was like 82 here today and no air conditioning because Europe.
Yep.
And it's brutal. I mean, it's absolutely brutal. And then like, it's like now it's cooled off. It's like 68, I think, or 65 and it's raining. So not only is it nice out now, but I can't open my windows.
No.
And all my windows open just a crack. So it's just like, oh my God, I can't.
That's amazing.
We got cooler weather coming for the next 10 days. And I have purchased an air fryer so okay. that I don't have to use my oven all summer.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to find the tricks, man, or you'll just melt. You'll just like.
You're getting ahead of it.
I know. I made Lucy Burton buy one. She just used it today and texted me, like, game changer. I was like, honestly.
That is wild. Like in Vegas, we were there and it was like 106, 107. Oh. And I know people talk about dry heat and all of that. And I was like, it's warm. It's hot. I don't like being in the sun. Yeah. And we landed in Nashville and I got off the plane and it was like 78 degrees and 95% humidity. And I just wanted to turn right back around and just like, wait, I get it. I get it now. It makes sense.
Oh man, my cousin lives out there. He works at the Golden Nugget, the old one.
The Golden Nugget.
Yeah, the dude has been there like 30 years. He's a cage supervisor. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. But he never complains about the heat. And I'm like, man, we grew up in New York. Like, how have you not exploded yet? You know?
But just, no. How was it in Vegas with the were they social distancing?
So Vegas lifted all restrictions June 4th or something like that. Like the Monday before we got there, they went wide open. So there was nothing, not a mask to be seen.
No masks.
All the tables were open.
Even when they had the masks, my cousin told me they cut holes out so they could smoke.
The one thing they picked up and kept though, there's no smoking at tables now. They kept that through, which is, it's okay. I was mad the one time they kicked me out with my cigar, but I understood.
It's my birthday, man.
Okay, fine, I'll be back.
I'm so glad you had a good time.
Yes,
way to bring it in.
Absolutely. And it was a great 30. I had my girlfriend surprise me by getting a bunch of my college friends out there. So I was there and there were like seven friends there that I just was not expecting.
I did see a picture of you with an amazing drink. Like your face was in an amazing drink.
Yes. Yes. So that was just the greatest, just fishbowl. I mean, we're talking coconut rum, blue curacao. They made cotton candy on site and they put the cotton candy on top. I mean, it was good. It definitely took more than one person to finish it. They were claiming there was 30 ounces of coconut rum in there. So
it's like a big gulp. Yeah.
Yeah. So we put some work into it.
30 ounces of coconut rum.
Yes, it was, but it was phenomenal. And again, first time in Vegas, going to be back. Can't complain. Everything went great.
Have
you seen your mom and dad? Did they come to visit you before that?
No, my parents just refused to see me. I turned 30 and I get no representation or anything like that. So I'm going to try to. Surprise.
Oh, yay. I'm just trying to get on the podcast as much as I can.
Yeah, she's trying to steal my 15 minutes.
Cheers, JD.
Oh, that is so
what are we having?
So we are having the Balvenie 21. So one of their top age products.
Oh my God, we have that back there.
Yes, and it is a fantastic Scotch whiskey. Again, going to be space side, so it's not going to have any peatiness on it, but really strong tobacco notes. Like it tastes like you're like holding an unlit cigar. Like it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here he had me taste a bunch of scotch because I'm not a scotch person. I might have told y'all, yeah, this will change your mind. It's not your.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes.
Wow. Yep.
I just got a whole bunch of little ones that are samples.
Yeah.
And it's so cool the way they like, you know, you get little cards that tell you like what all the notes are going to be and everything.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, that's really cool. Like a circle dial.
Honey.
Boy, that's the way to go.
Like you said, toasty oak, cereal notes.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, there was.
What type of cereal? Are we talking Trix or Lucky Charms?
I know. I was just like, ooh, cereal. But yeah, vanilla, sherry, dried fruit, sweet. And that's like, that's the Lagavulin? Is that how you say it?
Lagavulin?
Lagavulin.
My best.
Both are right.
Lagavulin. Glenkinchie and Dalwhinnie.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is fun.
They're actually smaller than the Peaky Blinders, so they're only about that big.
Okay, but that's a good taste.
Little taste.
So you said Peaky Blinders is an Irish whiskey?
Yes.
What did we have last night? Last night was our 37th anniversary, and Tyler took us out.
Oh.
Catherine and Mary's, yes. Right? Okay. Yep. My favorite place here. We tried to have the Oishi. They were out, but she substituted it with Redbreast.
Yes, the Redbreast Oloroso cask. So it's Redbreast Irish whiskey, 25 year in the... finishing Oloroso sherry casks.
Ooh, wow.
A good substitute. It was so good. And then we had Junior Stag after that. So
Junior
Stag. Wow, June is a big month for the Route League.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Terry's birthday, Tyler's birthday.
Yeah, we like June.
I'm so surprised you're there. It was like it was planned what I said about your mom
originally
and dad.
I thought it was on Thursday and I thought, oh, we'll be out of his hair. And then it's tonight. I was like, I'll be there. No.
Yeah.
But I've been cutting up lemons and oranges. And
yeah, she's been the best bar back I could have asked for.
It's fantastic because last time we surprised him by popping Judy on.
Yes.
Yep.
She got us back. Yep. She totally got us back.
Got us back.
Nice work, Judy. Good. Nice
All
work.
Right. Well, I'm going to hand it back to Tyler. I'm on the other side of the bar. Tell me what you need.
She's drinking as well.
Later.
So oh, my God.
Bye, Judy.
Get out from behind my bar.
Judy takes the dream work.
Yes,
did you get the gin I sent you?
He's going to tonight.
I will tonight, what I just heard.
Okay. Yeah. I want to know what you think of it.
I'll have to provide an update for that. So,
yeah, I wasn't much of a gin person, so I thought I'd see what you could create with it, you know, down the road. So, you've got something for us today.
Yes,
for Father's Day.
Yes. So I thought about Father's Day, and you know, a little bit of an homage, which in his current state would be Fireball, and I wasn't going to do Fireball. I thought about it real hard that I was just going to bring a thing of Fireball and just open it up and pour it. And I couldn't do that just because that's totally Dad's thing and I can't take that from him. But I was looking through just cocktails and one of the things, obviously, you know, at Ye Olde Circus Pub, as I'm going to call it, or Bar and Grill or whatever the name may be. You all, when you and Mom were singing, Dad drank plenty of whiskey and plenty of beer, and I learned how to play Mrs. Pac-Man and darts, so it was an even trade. And I wanted to do, and I've talked about it a little bit, wanted to do kind of a beer cocktail, not quite a shandy, but truly a cocktail that incorporates beer kind of in a mixer standpoint. So I was doing some research and found a kind of, you know, cocktail that came up a few times called a Beggar's Banquet. And it's usually beer, whiskey, a little bit of citrus, maple syrup type thing. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. But, you know, my dad doesn't like maple syrup or anything. So I decided to go with that kind of cocktail build and just kind of riff off of it. So I'm going to make a drink for you all now that's I'm going to call Daddy's Money.
Nice.
Because he paid for all of my games of darts and pool and this Pac-Man, and he also paid for the drinks that he was having. So I'm gonna make daddy's money, and it's gonna be a pretty classic highball build, which is really fun. So this is gonna be when you start getting into kind of your mixers. So we are just gonna start with two glasses, because I'm gonna make one for mom as well.
Nice.
Because I'm thoughtful and a good son.
Yes,
there we go. So you just basically start, fill your glass up with some ice. So I've just got some cubes that I've crushed up earlier, and we're gonna go with, like, when people talk about to your bartender, just make me whatever you want. And we're always like, okay, we're either gonna pour a beer, pour a shot,
yeah,
or you could have an and drink. If you want to know what's best for me right now, I'm going to tell you what's best for me. And that's going to just be some ice in a glass with your spirit of choice and whatever mixer you want or don't want. So again, there's no shaking or anything involved in this. This truly is build and pour, and it actually, especially with carbonated beverages, they're gonna self-mix. So if you're building a highball or anything like that, also if you try to shake a carbonated beverage, you're gonna shake a carbonated beverage, you will find very quickly that it'll just pop open, and now you're covered in whatever you were shaking. So the bubbles do actually mix as you pour, and again, you're getting that dilution again with those bubbles. It's increasing the surface area, so the ice that you have in there is still going to dilute it to exactly the amount of, like, liquid and water that you want. Keep that nice and balanced instead of it being too alcohol or too citrus.
Excellent.
So for this particular one, I decided to just go with Kentucky bourbon, something that I don't really think I've talked about here. But I mean, there is a strong belief that if it's not from Kentucky, it's not bourbon, which is technically not true. But most of your bourbons, yes, but most of your bourbons are going to be from Kentucky. And there's a reason why that holds true. And Kentucky bourbon is usually considered a very well-made, or usually has a classification with it that people want to follow. So this is going to be Michter's US 1. Small batch. So they're basically going to make each of these batches, and when they finish them, they're going to put them into storage units as they age them that hold no more than 20 barrels. So they don't have a lot of room with each batch to blend or to pull anything off or to add anything to it. So it is, each batch is going to taste a little different, have a little bit of unique notes to it, everything. But tasting through it, really good. Enjoyed the whiskey. It's always fun with small batches because you don't get the consistent notes that you would, but good sweetness from the corn on this one. And I think whatever batch this is, 201.3106, if I'm describing it. So if you happen to get 201.3106, then these notes will hold true. Otherwise, I have no idea what you're going to have. But I did. I got a nice little bit of, like, citrus burn on it, a little bit of vanilla, but really just good strong corn with a sweet finish, which I enjoy when I'm drinking a bourbon. It's a corn whiskey. I want to taste corn. I don't necessarily want to taste how good your barrels were. I want to taste how good your mash bill was. So very, very enjoy this. So we're going to go 2 ounces of a good bourbon. And this is a little lower proof than some of the stuff that I use, but it's a 41.7%. So a little lower, but it actually works very, very nicely with this particular cocktail. Then, instead of maple syrup, I am from Florida, if the shirt and the rest of the personality don't pull that up. So instead of using maple syrup, I made an orange rind syrup. So not quite an oleosaccharum, which would be where you just soak orange peels in sugar until the oils of the orange peel come out. That's a very potent citrus flavor. Really good if you're making punches, like 5 gallon batches of things or big batches. Really punches through. This is just, I literally just zested an orange over a pot that had 1-to-1 water and sugar.
Yeah.
And just let that boil down somewhere. And then just tasted it till it tasted kind of like an orange juice concentrate.
I am impressed with that.
Yeah. Right. So kind of like, yeah, an orange syrup or orange sherbet is another term that comes up in cocktail manuals every now and again.
Hey, I have a question about that. Like, could you use like a cordial?
You know, an orange cordial would be perfect. Cointreau would probably work. What I get into, when you start getting into your cordials, that alcohol burn comes in sometimes.
Right. Well, yeah, definitely.
And there's usually some other proprietary elements. They're not usually just the orange essence and sugar and alcohol. Gotcha. There's usually something that separate them one way or the other, but you absolutely could. This would work in this cocktail.
Cool. So is that something you would do at the bar typically? Like, would you have time to do that for, you'd have to have that prepared ahead of time, right?
Yes. So like for each of our current menu cocktails, we do an in-house mint schnapps. So I have a spearmint schnapps that we do in-house. We've got a raspberry shrub that we do, a strawberry syrup, mint syrup. We have a rosemary honey. So we do all of these processes. That's part of that prep that we do before shift, that you have your bar back. So we'll prepare like 2 gallons of spiced orange syrup.
Oh.
And have that. And you set, you know, how much you need so it doesn't go bad and all of that. So on any mm-hmm. given moment, there's, you know, 3/4 of a gallon of just simple syrup sitting in a fridge behind us that we made earlier that day, or you know, 4 gallons of lime juice if we mm-hmm. get a lot of lime juice right. in the menu. So we do have that at the bar, and we keep that at the bar. The real trick is that's part of the setup.
Right.
If there are times where you're in the middle of shift and you ran it and somebody decided that they weren't going to prep enough of the, you know, spiced cranberry shrub, and you're in the back trying to rush a shrub real quick because you got less in the bar, but that's you, that's bad. You messed up if you did that. Somebody's getting yelled at by somebody else at that point. But something like this, 3 minutes of prep, take a cup of sugar, cup of water, and then you take 2 oranges and you either zest them or just peel them. And then you let that come to a boil, simmer until it smells nice, and pull out the orange.
Whatever's left, you can just save, right?
Yeah. You save it. Simple syrups. Syrups are usually good for 1 to 2 weeks, depending on what you do with them. So, you know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't suggest making a gallon unless you drink a lot of syrup. But I usually do like a 1/2 cup to a cup, and usually, you know, a pint or less you can go through. If you have it, you can do it and all of that. But the trick is, whenever you use any fruits in these syrups, keep them, because if you just let them kind of dry a little bit, they're candied at the end.
Oh, right. Oh. Yeah.
So I've got I've already eaten them, but I had a bunch of candied orange peels that were just perfect.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's bonus. That's the other benefit. So I've got 2 ounces of the Michter's Kentucky bourbon. I've got 1 ounce of my orange syrup.
Is that your cat, I hear?
Yeah, that's my cat.
Thank you.
So with Mother Dearest being in the kitchen, she's standing next to the place that potentially his food comes from.
Oh.
So obviously she must be there to feed him.
I have to be here.
Yeah, so now she has to come back. So then we're going to go ahead and just do 1/2 ounce of lemon.
Easy enough.
So and again, when I'm not at the bar, lemon. I prefer hand juiced over... Right. Even when we batch hand juice, I prefer juicing for each cocktail. You get a lot of those essential oils that come out of the rind. You just get a fresher element. The second you squeeze any sort of citrus juice, it starts to oxidize and starts to lose some of its flavor. Just naturally, it's so high and acidic that even the natural oxygen in the air and the water in the air starts to react immediately. So the closer to when you squeeze it that you use it, the more, not necessarily the sourness, but the more of the actual like sweet flavors you're going to get out of it, the more of the kind of floral notes and
freshness. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I'm always a sucker for that. And then here's the kicker.
I hear
you're basically building a Tom Collins.
Oh,
not me yet, with bourbon, but we're going to add some lager to the end of this.
Oh, nice.
And just like you would with soda or whiskey or a Coke or ginger beer, you just top with that lager.
That is a total dad drink.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's whiskey and beer. Drink. Give it a little stir just to mix it.
Yep. Yeah. And that's I think my stepdad would drink that because I was thinking something beer based.
Yeah. You know,
but not just a drop, you know, not a drop of a shot of Jaeger in a beer. Like he wouldn't do that. So this is a little more refined. Yeah.
Yes. And then just because, you know, my whole tiki background and everything, I just have to have a float of bitters.
It makes it look pretty.
And here I give you daddy's money.
It is. Daddy's
money.
Yeah.
Money.
Thank you, Dad.
That is a dad drink if I ever saw one.
Absolutely.
Or tasted one.
Perfect choice. A perfect mm-hmm. choice.
Yes.
Are you bringing that to your place of where you mix your mixology?
So actually, considering so the lager I used is the Memphis Sands lager from Wiseacre, which is a local brewery here in Memphis that makes a very good consistent product, and everything they put out is fun to drink. And they've got two tap houses that I spend way too much time at. So we actually have this Memphis Sands on tap at my bar. So this is hitting into my rotation of the make me a drink questions.
Oh, definitely.
I was going to ask you, do we have to give our consent? Do we have to say you may use our Whiskey Rock Lounge Father's Day drink in your bar?
I was going to ask. I won't use the name unless you tell me I may, but.
Like that.
Do it up, man. Do it.
Yes. You can.
No, I for sure will. I love talking about it. I use some of our cocktails. The Every Rose Has Its Pour, a rendition of that is actually on our current menu. So that was
cool. Oh,
yes.
Wow.
That was very cool. So thank you for inspiring me to come up with something that I was then able to actually finalize and put into a position that it hit our menu. And that's actually what the peppermint schnapps is, or the spearmint schnapps is, instead of using Rumplemints.
Oh, right. Yeah. Our guilty pleasure.
Yes. Yes. So instead of that, I actually worked with some spearmint, a little bit of eucalyptus oil to add some of that kind of the kind of nosy feel
menthol,
you get out of menthol or anything like that. So a little bit of that. And then went ahead and got that approved and put on the menu. And that's something that people are enjoying now. So
that's awesome. Look at us. Look at us.
Look at that.
Look at y'all.
We made it to Memphis. So is that a popular drink at your bar? Do people has the word gotten out about Every Rose Has Its Pour?
Yeah. So one of the things at our bar is everything has to have a Memphis tie-in. So it's called Roses on the River now.
Oh, nice.
It works.
And when people see a pink drink with the name Roses on the River, they want to order it.
Yeah.
And then what's fun is, so people see it, order it, and love it without reading it. Then people who read it are like, wow, a Scotch cocktail, I'll have that. And I am batting 1,000 right now, and people getting it going, that's not what I expected from a Scotch cocktail, and then ordering another one.
That's funny.
And get another one. Yeah. Yes.
They should be thrilled that it doesn't taste like tequila rose.
Yes, know? Exactly. But I've had a couple big burly men who are like, yeah, fine, I'll take the Scotch cocktail and get that and be like, I don't know about that. And have it be like, I'm gonna have another one of these. And I was like, you're welcome, sir.
I can imagine a truck driver drinking one of those.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Is there still a frozen rose petal in the ice?
No, so that got pulled just because of prep time. We do too much volume we'd have to have, 400 roses in the
frozen
back.
Roses, right.
But it would be very, very fun. And I thought about it. And every now and again, I will do a couple. If I've got some roses, I'll throw a couple in and make the first four like that, but but it's just a lot to keep up with. But in general,
that inspired me to hey, big guy, jeez, Bruce came down, must be really hot upstairs. my cat comes wandering down like looking for water.
I love the attention to detail that you put into creating your drinks.
I love the garnishes and all the flavors and all that stuff.
Like making your own syrup and really thinking about, you don't go with the obvious, like for the Valentine's Day drink. I thought for sure you were going to do something with a chocolate type of a something.
Oh, I was strawberries all the way.
You don't do the obvious, which is cool. Like I thought Scotch might have been the dad drink, mm-hmm. And then here you come up with this and it's amazing. And you can almost taste it from the way you describe it, which is also very cool. And
yeah, I honestly love the fact that it's always right on the money. Like it's always right on the money for whatever the theme of the month is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right on daddy's money this week.
Yeah, that's perfect. My wife wanted a blue drink this summer. Mm-hmm. So she's challenged me to find a blue drink that we could make and have this summer. So I guess I gotta find blue Curacao, don't I? Yes.
Was it Gemma? Did you say Gemma? Because I think that Tyler, since his number one fan is your mom.
My mom.
Needs to make a drink for your mom.
Oh, yeah. The challenge.
Yeah.
Did you know that Denise's mom is like a huge fan of yours?
So I have heard that.
Yeah. She doesn't care that I had like a well-known actress on last month. She just goes, but when is the bartender?
No.
When is the bartender boy coming?
This show. Yeah.
She'll be thrilled.
What's your mom's name? Marlene, right?
Marlene, yeah.
Marlene, so something Marlene.
Okay, I'm gonna have to come up with something. We're gonna have to do some off show talk.
She does. I mean, she likes gin. She likes Jameson. She's pretty easy to please.
Okay,
pretty easy. To please.
I can work with both of those things.
Yes, yeah. She goes to Bonefish Grill expressly for their watermelon martini. Like that's one of her favorites.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's easy to please. If it looks pretty and it tastes good, she's on board.
That is on fire.
Yeah. Cool. And my stepdad makes her drink like one drink with dinner every night.
Aww.
Yeah. He started making her pomegranate martinis. Like they're so high class over there. She's got her bottle of palm juice and vodka and a squirt of lime in there. And yeah. So
I think it might be a little healthy, like a healthy martini.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably her way of justifying it. Yeah.
It's a martini. Tyler, Marlene. You can make a martini.
A Marlene. That's perfect. Oh my God. I'm gonna how am I gonna not tell her that? Marlene.
All right, we got the name. You have to come up with the drink.
That is awesome.
That ding.
We've got it.
Perfect. Oh my God. I'm so thrilled that we got you back. I didn't know that it was your birthday month, like, you know, and we missed you all of May. So, I'm glad you made good use of your time off.
Yes, so I made great use of my time off. I'm glad that I made it back.
Yeah, in one piece.
It was a good time.
Liver intact.
Yep.
You got the shave.
Some money left.
But got the shave, yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that's better than a t-shirt.
For sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, listen, guys, that was exciting and fun.
I'm back in to say bye.
Okay.
This one.
Did you have a little sip of your drink? What'd you think of it? Did you have it?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I did try it before. Let me tell you, he does everything over there. I get here, it's like Edward Scissorhands. There's zesting going on. There's boiling going on. It's like, do this, cut that, get out of my way. Get the guy, move, I'm going to break it up. Beat the cat up. I'm like, I'm on it.
So, that's awesome.
It's
Martin's bar back.
He's already... Yes. Done it.
So now we have to find out if your dad likes it so you can let us know.
Yeah.
All right,
if he likes it.
We'll make him drink it.
Yeah. He likes whiskey. It's literally made for him.
Nothing not to like in there.
Yeah, if he doesn't like it, we've got a big problem.
Drink it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he'll like this. Yes.
Yeah. Make sure you send JD the recipe so we can
for
add
sure.
it on the podcast.
I'm saying bye. End it with Tyler. Love y'all. See you later.
Bye, Jerry. All right, you guys.
Bye. All right, y'all. Thanks for letting me have fun in the lounge again. Always
anytime,
a great time,
man. Anytime.
And I will see you next month.
All right.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Drink up and cheers, folks.